It's time for This Week in WordPress, episode number 363, entitled, I Didn't Know There'd Be Pointing in This Episode. It was recorded on Monday, the 26th of January, 2026. My name's Nathan Wrigley, and I will be joined by co-host Jess Frick, but also by Mark Benzacane and by Marcus Burnett. We do, obviously, spend quite a lot of time talking about WordPress. We also, curiously, spend quite a lot of time talking about corgis and alligators, because obviously they're very important, and really a lot of time spent on AI. We talk about the fact that WordPress 9.1 is around the corner. We talk a lot about education and the fact that there's a new home for all the broad initiatives surrounding education in the WordPress space. We talk about companies which inspire trust for us in the WordPress space, and the panelists share ones which they feel very comfortable with, along with individuals as well. Amber Hines has got a post all about using core blocks only in her new WordPress website builds. And like I said, an awful lot, a very awful lot about AI. It's all coming up next on This Week in WordPress. This episode of the WP Builds podcast is brought to you by GoDaddy Pro, the home of managed WordPress hosting that includes free domain, SSL, and 24/7 support. Bundle that with the Hub by GoDaddy Pro to unlock more free benefits to manage multiple sites in one place, invoice clients, and get 30% off new purchases. Find out more at go.me/WPBuilds.
Hello there.
Hello, hello, hello. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. It is a thoroughly, typically miserable day in the UK. It's grey. It's just a blanket of grey and it's cold. So we're here to brighten up your day. We're going to bring out the blue skies, talk about WordPress, probably talk quite a lot about AI as well. You know the drill. But if you're joining us, thank you. We appreciate that. If you're watching this live, you have an additional responsibility, dare I say it. We would love you to comment, because commenting makes the world go round or something like that. And if you want to do that, I have the easiest way to do it. So again, if you're watching this live, this applies to you. If you're not watching this live, sorry, join us 2 p.m. UK time every week. The easiest way to do it is to head here. Go to this. Jess Crick is supporting a slightly broken version of it. No, there it is. Jess Frick. I just called you Jess Crick. There we go, wpbuilds.com/live. If you'd like to join us and make a comment, we would love that. About you're really giving it all guns. Thank you for that, Jess. That's appreciated. I'll take it away, though, so we can see your marvelous face. So wpbuilds.com/live if you want to join us. If you do make a comment, then sometimes they get on the screen, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they come in so fast that I can't actually keep up, given that I'm talking quite a lot, so apologies for that. The other thing to say is, if you're watching it on the myriad platforms that this thing goes out to, we really can't receive your comments. So if you're watching it on X or Facebook or anything like that, they don't get sucked in by the platform. So if you comment, nothing will happen. Go to the WP Builds website, like I just said, and there's a little box. You can put your comments in there. And if you don't like having a Google account, then don't put your comments in the box on the right of the screen. Just click the little live chat icon, which you can find actually in the video itself. And if you go to that, then yeah, you'll be able to comment regardless of whether you're logged in or not. Okay, and I can see a couple of people have done that, which I will just say hello to them very, very quickly. So the first one is Courtney, -8. Oh, that's brutal. Yeah, we've got miserable, but we don't have that. We don't have really, really, really cold. -8 degrees centigrade. Thank you for converting it into sensible units for me. That's appreciated. -8 degrees centigrade and 30 centimeters of snow with a top coat of sleet and ice. Oh, stay inside would be my advice there. Jess is saying, come and join me, Marcus, and Courtney. It's the opposite of that, but also with coffee. Yeah, you're in. We'll get to that. Let's do that in a minute. Marcus, who's joining us, obviously, says it's 20. See, that's as hot as we ever get in the UK. That's like our best summer day. We're all in T-shirts and shorts and things. Oh, that's lovely. 22 degrees where he is, 71 Fahrenheit with rain. Yay, Florida. No kidding. Elliot is saying hello. He's just down the road from me. So hi, Elliot. You know what I'm talking about. Look up. If you can see anything but grey, I don't know what I've got.
Oh no. It's I feel so bad. Every week this guy shows up, and every week I can never remember his name. I want to say Gordon, but I know it's not right. I am so sorry. Please put it down to my incapacity to be clever. I'm so sorry.
You need to write it on a post-it note.
I genuinely do. I hope he's not offended. It's nothing to do with you. It is my capacity to learn new information. I am so sorry. But anyway, he's coming to us from Amsterdam, where it's a bit grey. No kidding. You're just across the river, if you like, the North Sea from me, so it's probably the same. I can see and hear you all. I was on LinkedIn, now on the live page, thanks to Jess. Waving. There we go. That's great. Thank you, Jess. Okay. So there we go. There we have our little comments section, but that doesn't tell us who we've got on the show today. And I think it's important that we do that. So if we cast around, as always, attempt to be joined by three people, and this week we are. Let's go here first. That I'm pointing at Jess. Jess Frick, how you doing, Jess? How you doing?
I'm so good, Nathan. How are you?
That's great. I'm pleased to hear it. I love it. I've just realized nobody's names are on the screen. I've just made that come up. So anyway, there we go. We've now got people's names showing on the screen. I am good. Yeah, thank you. Jess is the general manager for Rocket.net and the director of WordPress for hosting.com. Additionally, she's a diet Dr. Pepper's devotee. I will come back to that.
Okay.
Rescue dog and cat mama, and a proud member of the Post Status and WP Minute communities. So before we move on to the other two, what even is Dr. Pepper? I don't mean what is it. I know it's a soft drink, but what the heck is it?
It's barbecue water.
It's supposed to be cherry a bit.
I think it's like barbecue sauce, but soda.
Okay. It's one of those drinks that I think it's a bit like Marmite. We have this stuff called Marmite.
No, Marmite smells like baby like
See the reaction? Dr. Pepper's, I think, is a bit like that. You either
so it's just
or...
like that.
It's
just
exactly.
Like that. No, exactly. Don't you dare talk about my sweet diet Dr. Pepper like that.
I am so sorry to besmirch your favorite soft drink. But anyway, there we go. That's Jess Frick joining us. It's an absolute pleasure.
Well, we're already starting out fighting. Here we go.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, you've had a go at my favorite drink. It's fight. And all the way down. Okay, next, let's go over there. We've got Mark Benzocaine joining us again. How you doing, Mark?
Hello.
Very
I'm
nice
doing
to have you.
Fantastic.
No kidding.
Awesome.
Look at you. Look at
ridiculously
you on the balcony.
Good. You know, yeah.
Beautiful
you know,
view.
Every week, it's a beautiful view.
Every week, you're in a difference.
I don't know what it looks like in front of me, but I can tell you what it looks like behind me.
Yeah. Just so that you know, that's genuinely what I do. Every single week, I'm in some sort of tropical paradise. I move around, you know, week by week, get on a plane, go somewhere like the Bahamas and the Maldives. But I have this saved as a background, just, you know, so it looks like I'm in a boring office in my attic.
You're going for consistency. Got it.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. No, this is actually where I am, in a boring office in my attic. So anyway, Mark Benzocaine is the Partnerships and Community Lead at MainWP, where he spends most of his time thinking about how agencies, developers, and product teams actually work day to day. He's been around the WordPress ecosystem for ages, wearing a lot of different hats along the way. These days, he's especially focused on ownership, sustainability, and what it really takes to run and maintain sites at scale. When he's not buried in plugins, releases, or community projects, he's usually asking uncomfortable but hopefully useful questions about where WordPress is headed and how we can make it better for the people building it. And I've just realized I need to go for an eye test. That font, which until this moment in time was perfectly suitable for me to read off the screen, I'm now this. It's very difficult for me to read. Right. And then the last one. There he is, right in that corner over there. We've got Marcus Bennett. How you doing, Marcus? Thanks for joining us.
Amazing. Thank you for having me again. Two weeks in a row. Thank you for allowing me to do that.
Lovely. Well, I'm most grateful. I really am grateful.
I messed up, but I'm happy to be here anyway.
Yeah. Well, I'm delighted that you are. I really love it. Marcus Bennett is a WordPress builder and community wrangler who runs the WP World. And works at Bluehost. He's usually juggling a few side projects, a podcast mic, and at least one idea that's almost ready. Ah, you have that as well. Mind you, you actually see, you carry on through with most of your ideas as far as I can work out. They actually see the light of day. I'm one of those serial failed entrepreneurs that get about 10% in, and then shiny, something else happens and I go and do that instead. I've done so many of those things. But thank you for joining us. So there, ladies and gentlemen, is your panel for today. Like I said, keep the comments coming in. I don't know where we got to. We got to here. No, thank you. There you go. Of course it's Gerard. Everybody knows that. It's Gerard. Last week you had it right. I'm so sorry, Gerard. I am going to write it on a post-it note. I'll stick it to my screen for next week. So please come back. Don't leave us. don't want you to go away.
I promise you, you should have heard what he called me before we started recording.
It wasn't. Was it bad?
It wasn't
bad.
Frick.
Well, yeah. Okay. I'm groveling now. Courtney's with us. Nathan, go for a full English with him again. Of course. Yes. We actually spend time together. This I also forget. Oh, it's not good. It's not a cola. No, I'll have full fat Coke every day of the week.
Simon, I thought you would be on my side here.
No, good so for excited. You, Simon. Join the correct side of this argument. And it's not misunderstood. It's just wrong. Fight and talk. Stay in Northern Ireland, Simon. Don't stray out. Jess is after you. Okay, so WP Builds, obviously it's about WordPress, so let's put on the screen the few different bits and pieces that we're going to do. A few bits of self-promotion very quickly. This is our website. We produce two pieces of content each week. Stick your email address into that and I'll notify you via email every time we produce a new piece of content. The latest one that I did was with a young English fella called Taylor Drayson. I had not heard of Taylor, but Taylor's been very busy in the WordPress space. He's got a range of plugins. He's got sort of like an educational thing called Snippet Club as well. But the real thing that I thought was interesting, and this may lead to a conversation, was that Taylor is very young. Taylor's in his early 20s, so he's the rarest of WordPress things. He's a person whose age begins with a 2 or lower. Now, I don't know about you lot, but when I go to WordPress events, I look around, I'm now, and I look around and there seem to be people of my age. There's quite a lot of people who were older, and a few that are a lot younger as well. But 20-something is not typical as far as I can work out. And I do wonder, as with all things, you know, that have got this sort of demographic skewing older, what kind of shape we're going to be in a few years' time. I don't know if it's exciting anymore to the sort of, I'm going to say utes, and then I'm going to regret it because I sound like an idiot. But anyway, that's the word. I don't know what we do about enticing these people in. When I was 20-something, I wasn't touching CMSs. The internet was, you know, just sort of beginning its journey, so I didn't have to worry about any of that stuff. I'm still excited about it, but I don't know if the young people are still excited. Go to WordCamps, the age skews older. I run the the WordPress London meetup. And same thing, lots of more senior people in the room and my age and above and what have you, not too many of the younger folk. So I don't know if you have any thoughts on that. I was really just introducing that topic because we had a podcast episode, but if you've got anything to say on that, then fire away while I have a sip of water.
I feel like we need to jump ahead to what we're going to talk about in a minute about the new home for WordPress educational programs.
Okay, yeah. Okay, should we combine the two things? Yeah, let's do exactly that. All right, in that case, we will slide ahead. So let me just pop this on the screen. So there's the piece. Sorry, Marcus.
I listened to this episode, and I was a little disappointed that you didn't dive a little bit deeper in the fact that he said that his dad is a professional magician.
I know. I was listening back to it.
I needed to hear more about that.
I wanted to hear more about that. Yeah, and the fact that he works with his dad. Yeah. How nice is that? And by
not sure, as a magician. The magician.
No, he's the guy in the box that company. Gets sawed in half. No, wasn't it interesting though? How he, you know, his dad's a real inspiration to him. It's really fascinating. Okay, yes. So what I'll do then.
You're talking about skewing younger, and so yeah.
Okay, here we go. So let me see if I can find the correct thing. Was it this?
No. New home. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you so much. So, perfect timing. So, this is on WordPress.org, and it's the news that there is a new home for all the educational bits and pieces in the WordPress space. You can see it here, actually. that's actually what it looks like. And the URL is super easy to remember. It's wordpress.org/education. And it really, it's an idea to combine the different and disparate things that are going on out there. So we've got this thing called Campus Connect. We've got this thing called student clubs, and we've got things called WordPress credits, and they all do a slightly different thing. Campus Connect is like real world attendance at universities where, you know, they'll go into a university and they'll set up a day's workshop or something like that. WordPress credits is where you literally get credit from the institution that you're already subscribed to. So the University of Pisa is an example. You can get credits for doing a WordPress thing. So I don't know, maybe that's going to be a 12th of your entire degree can be WordPress related stuff. And then student clubs is exactly what it says. It's more sort of club-based collaboration, growing community and all that kind of thing. Anyway, it's got a new home, which as you can see here. And okay, so there is the piece. I'm teeing you up a bit there, Jess. So how are you thinking of combining these?
So we're talking about, you know, the current audience at WordCamp skewing a bit older. Right here, they are bringing in the next generation. They're reaching them on campuses. They're reaching them with free education. They're making it accessible through the avenues where they're currently hanging out. And I don't know if you've hung out with any 20-somethings lately, but they're kind of fickle when it comes to online tooling.
Yeah.
Because they're native to this. You know, they have lots of opinions and thoughts on it. And I think that this is a brilliant idea to start bringing in that next generation. Because, you know, some of us oldies are retired.
Yeah, I suppose the one that speaks most clearly to me is, let me just scroll back down, is this one, the one that's called WordPress Credits, because that will take people who are on, there's a few universities, I can't remember, when I recorded a podcast episode with somebody about it, I think there were two universities at that point. But the intention was to, and they were going through the whole process of making sure, you know, that other universities were coming on board. Because as you can imagine, if a university is going to put their name to what you're doing, you've got to demonstrate that it's credible. And, you know, you're not just sort of giving them some 10-minute exercise to do over here. It was, you know, it's really credible stuff. That seems to be a great way of doing it, because you're just sort of dropping in something into a program that we're already doing, presumably related to tech or computer science or whatever it may be. So that seems like a really good idea.
Two things before I shut up and handed the mic to my colleagues. Number one, it's bold of me to assume that everyone that's a part of this is young. There are plenty of people going back to school at, you know, later stages in life, looking for a second, third career. This is also a great opportunity to reach people at a stage of reinvention. And number two, Rocket.net and Hosting.com have a full-time contributor named Ahmed, and he is hugely active in these circles. And I think we would also be remiss to not mention that this is an international play too.
Yeah, nice.
So it's not just, you know, trying to get the younger next generation, but it's also expanding it well beyond our current geographic boundaries, which dovetails very nicely to my friend Marcus.
Nice. Marcus, anything on that?
Yeah, random scattered thoughts. I really like it. I like the, I know that Jess said that, you know, there are all sorts of different age groups going to, you know, college for second, third careers, but that doesn't discount the fact that a lot of folks coming straight out of high school are going to college. So even if that's not what they're looking at, they're now being exposed to it. And so you kind of get this automatic exposure to, exposure to WordPress as an option, as something that you can do for a career that you may not have thought of coming out of high school, going into college. May not have been looking for that, but now you see it as something that's an option on the curriculum, and now you can kind of follow along there.
Yeah.
And like Jess was saying, internationally, I think this is really great too. And I want to say, man, I don't have actual numbers for this necessarily, but while the age group does tend to skew a little bit older as far as the US goes,
yeah,
there's a lot of younger folks in Spain and India that are doing lots of really great stuff with WordPress. They tend to get somewhat overlooked, I think, but I think there is a younger group. They're just maybe not as loud and as prominent yet, and we're just starting to see some of them show some of the really great stuff that they're doing coming out of, like I said, some of the larger communities abroad, especially India.
Yeah, India, I think, is on fire with all that kind of stuff, isn't it? And I think my comments about the demographic skewing older, they really do apply to the country where I live, the UK and the US. But I think you're right. I think it's probably not the case that in other places like India, for example, I think it is much more broad. And the opportunity... Okay, so add to that the whole thing that the infrastructure, I'm guessing, in India is now super rock solid. You know, there's probably a whole heritage of people who've been employed, like a generation or more of people who've been employed in the tech space. You can see it's a really credible learning path. But maybe the learning bit has been missing. And now there's a lot of these things happening in institutions, hopefully at an institution near you. So this is the student clubs that we were showing on the screen earlier. Let's just put that back. So the Campus Connect bit here and the student club bit here. I failed to put it on the screen. These two at the tops, Campus Connect and the student clubs, they're enabling it so that hopefully there's something close to where you are. I get this palpable sense of excitement whenever I talk to somebody from that part of the world that it still is really exciting in the same way that it was exciting to me, like really, really, really genuinely exciting to me 15 years ago when I discovered that there were these free things on the internet that you could download and get a website with. I think a lot of that excitement is just beginning to get exposed in those parts of the world. And it's very cool. Very, very cool. Mark, anything on that before we move on?
Boy, everyone else said it so well. I think that hitting people up at the college level, that works for things both good and bad at the college level. As far as like, I can't think of a better word than indoctrination, which is a terrible, terrible, terrible word.
I get what you mean. Exposure. But how about we go with that?
I like exposure better, so much better than indoctrination. Yes.
This is like our Joe Camel. We're getting another one.
Yeah. Maybe this has to do with our conversation prior to going live. I don't know. But yeah, I think this is a fantastic idea. I remember years ago, years and years ago, when I was just getting into WordPress, I actually went to my son's school. He was in third grade or something. And of course, I was pushing ServerPress, not to the kids, but it made it very easy. But it made it really easy for me to go in and show them how you could build a website. And we actually built like this Minecraft WordPress website like in one class period, and they were all excited and coming up to me. So you can see that if you get to them when they're young, you can actually like impress upon them what a great thing it is. So yeah,
it's kind of interesting. So if you rewind the clock like 15 years ago when I first discovered CMSs, there was a computer, and you had a computer, and typically you had to plug it into a wall with a cable, and the internet was patchy and all this kind of stuff. And it, just the idea that Nathan, could press a few buttons and something would be available to the entire world, that was so new and interesting. And yet now, you know, the mobile phones, the tablets, the myriad of different platforms out there, there's a lot of noise that they've got that we're competing against. And I suppose trying to get in there early in these ways is going to help. And I've got to think that if you are senior management in some way in a WordPress company, this has got to be on your radar, the whole generational demographic thing. Yeah. Because if we leave it for another decade and just hope that the 43% of the internet sticks around, probably won't. It's going to require a bit of hard work and programs like this. And so I suppose at this point, we should say a great big thank you to anybody who has in any way, shape or form been connected with this endeavor. I know there's a lot of hard work going on in the background. I don't think it's easy to approach institutions and try to get them to give you a portion of their, you know, curriculum and say, yeah, sure, run with it. That's fine. So I imagine there's a lot of phoning, emailing, site visits and all that. So thank you to anybody who's been contributing to that. By the way, completely going off piece, Mark, I'm just imagining you entering like your school and trying to sell ServerPress to a bunch of like 8-year-old children. Like, right, everybody sit down. I'm going to.
Yeah. I mean, You know, it was, yeah, it turned into quite the fundraiser. I'm telling you. Yeah.
There was this TV show in the UK.
It was how we kickstarted RiverPress. I'll be honest. Yeah.
It was all children's subscriptions. Yeah. There was a TV show in the UK called The Fast Show. And it was called that because each sketch was really quick. It was just a few seconds. And there was this character in it called Competitive Dad. A competitive dad would do everything that, you know, a normal dad would do with his children, only he would have to be significantly better than them at it. So he'd be playing like a game of cricket or something, and he'd get them to bowl it underarm, and then, you know, and he would like smack it, you know, miles, and then run and run. Everything that, anyway, it just sort of, the parallels made me laugh there. Okay, there we go. So that was that. Right. Okay. I'm going to go back to the WP builds. Put the bits on the screen. So we were talking about Taylor Drayson. Go and check that podcast episode out. And yeah, it was really nice. His dad is a magician, as Marcus says. The other thing that I put out this week is it's a podcast episode with this chap. He's called Mark Benzocaine. We hit record just before Christmas. Honestly, because Mark, I edit these, I listen to every single word again.
I am so sorry.
It was so enjoyable because it turns out that Mark and I are kind of, he's got started on the internet a little bit earlier than I did, but not much. And you remember the days of dial-up modems and the you know, all the noise that the thing used to make and all of that. And it's just a journey. Mark talking about how the internet has changed, what it used to be like, how difficult it was to get started and all this. So it's just like a walk. It's a trip down memory lane. So if you are skewing older in the age demographic, this is the episode for you. It was absolutely lovely chatting to you.
I had a great time.
Yeah, it was lovely. Fun. And I edited out all that, you know, incendiary politics that we talked about.
Yeah, well, that's good.
Yes, there was a good 2 hours of that that we caught it all.
I actually had someone text me over the weekend who I haven't spoken to in a while, who used to be a very active member of the WordPress community, and he said he had listened to it. So you at least got one listener to it. So that's
my
good.
Goal. I get the and, one listener. I'm a happy man.
But he did call me old. He did call me old.
Oh, well, there's a time for that, isn't there? I think I reached it many years ago. Anyway, go check that out. It's on WP Tavern. And then, apropos of nothing, this is not new. I put a little post out on LinkedIn, and I don't even know if it's still open, but it just got me thinking about this show and this panel and whether or not you wanted to contribute to this. I put out this little message saying, WordPress company trust question. I just said, I'm curious to know which companies you trust without question in the WordPress space. A company that you simply know or assume will do the right thing by you, their customer. Then I went on to, you know, explain how you know that they earned your trust. You can read that if you wish to. It's over on LinkedIn. But the reason I mentioned it is I was just curious, this panel, if anybody wanted to share anything like that. If you don't, because you feel that that's like, it's a bit weird, then that's fine as well. But I'll share mine. There's like three or four that I could really trust. I'm going to share two. The first one is WS Form. Because of Mark Westgaard. You all know Mark, I'm sure, but I've got to know Mark extremely well in a way that I've really not got to know any plugin developers. Most plugin developers are still companies to me. So when I buy their stuff, I'm buying it from the website and I don't really know who's behind it. But Mark that's a totally different ball game for me now. I know him, really like him, really trust him. So there's my first one, is WS Form. I just completely trust him to do the right thing, to keep that plugin A grade. And the other one would be generate anything, generate blocks, generate press, the theme. I've met Tom online, like on a call like this, but never met him in person. But I just get the same vibes. I just get the vibe that he's got, his ethics are really aligned to mine. Clears up his support queue each night. He does the right thing, relentlessly keeps the plugin updated. It doesn't get, you know, detracted. What's the word? It doesn't get sort of shiny object syndrome and go off and do a myriad other things like I do. And so there's my two. So I'll just open it up to you. If anybody wants to share, if you think that's weird, just ignore it and we'll move on. But if anybody wants to.
Well, I'll speak first and I'll say I probably am not too far out of line. If of the other three or the other two panelists here would all agree that the companies they represent are people that they 100% back up. I certainly would not be involved with Maine WP if I did not 100% trust who they are and what they are. And I imagine Jessica and Marcus feel the same way about the companies they work for. So I will say that. But the other company that I've gotten to be pretty close with also, in not quite the same way you have with Mark, but I really like what they're doing. And there aren't a lot of people, if any other people, doing it, which is Termageddon. I don't know if people are familiar with them, but Hans and, I mean, Donata is just like a brilliant lawyer. I mean, just incredibly brilliant. And they put together a really cool product that has saved me personally a lot of time. So, I would say those two companies for me.
He is extremely funny.
He is.
I don't know if you ever hung out with Hans, but he's his sense of humor and mine just overlap perfectly. He's
same.
Yeah. And also his office looks like a submarine.
I did an interview with him for actually a couple interviews with him for Maine WP that are online. And the stuff that doesn't make it to the interview is usually us doing exactly that, joking around and you know, going way off book. But that's not surprising for anything I'm involved in. So,
I'm very pleased. That's a lovely recommendation. So, Termageddon is Mark's one. Obviously, it goes without saying your own company. So, I understand that.
Yes.
Jess or Marcus, do you want to or not?
You go first.
Okay.
Sure. I don't know. I generally find myself to be an optimistic person, but this is probably one of the places where I feel a little bit more skeptical. However, I will say, I don't know if and this kind of follows the same trend so far. I don't know if there are any companies really that I trust in that way as much as people that I've formed relationships with that then represent the companies.
Yeah.
Certainly Mark is one of those for me for sure. And it's less about whether or not I trust WS Form. It's that I know Mark and I trust Mark, and Mark is the head of what's going on with WS Form.
Yeah.
I don't know. There are definitely others that I'll just kind of leave it to Jess to
it's okay.
Name names if she wants.
No pressure.
But and you know, I think that's it for me. It's just the relationships. I think that's why the community is so important. I think that's why seeing each other and hanging out at events is so important, whether that's a giant event like a WordCamp where lots of people are coming together, or just being in the same space with each other at meetups locally, and all of that. I think the relationships that are built are what form that trust for me.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you, Marcus. I appreciate it. Jess, do you want to avoid or want to lean in?
I was going
to
say exactly the same thing as Marcus. Okay. Not so much about companies, but it is people. Like, for example, Ben Gabler. I would trust that guy to the moon and back again. He is old and morally sound people that I have the privilege of knowing. And it's why I wanted to work with him. And there are a number of great people on our team too. And that I think comes through in the way Rocket.net does business. I think the only appropriate answer to this though is WP Builds. And so
that is not the intention, by the way, Jess.
It's okay. You know what you were trying to do. And if you want attention, you can just ask for it, Nathan.
Oh, I'm so sorry. That wasn't how it was supposed to go. Let's move on. I'm desperately trying to find something else. I appreciate it, Jess.
Oh, but you know what?
Seemingly red now.
Courtney has some great examples in the chat.
Yes, right. Thank you. Let's lean into that. So the first one is from Simon, who lives in Amsterdam. We can see his name clearly there. He says, I'm going to just lead into this. I'm going to get his name deliberately wrong for the rest of the show. Keep putting in comments, Simon, and I will just make up a new name every time. Great podcast with Mark. Brought back lots of memories. Oh, I am so pleased. So there were two listeners. Yes. And somebody saying, oh, the webinar. Hello. Yeah. No, I didn't do your survey, but you obviously had a similar survey to the question I just posed our panelists. Okay, there we go. And Courtney has leaned into this. She's saying Mike McAllister from Ollie WP. Do you know what, Courtney? I think if I was, I only said two, but if I could say a third one, I think I'm with you on that. I've used Ollie. I've met Mike and have very, very, very good intuitions about Mike as well. So thank you. That's a great suggestion.
Yeah, I agree with Courtney's other one there too. Yeah.
Yeah, and then there's another one. Courtney's really getting into it. Look at this. Equalize Digital. Anything from Amber Hines, basically. She says WP Ally Day, make WP Ally Team, meetups and so on. So Amber Hines, which then leads us to Equalize Digital. Hold the fort. We're going to talk about them in a minute. And then Marcus, you're getting a nod here, saying people are what attract customers rather than companies. I think so. I think in our space, it's totally possible to have that relationship, isn't it? So the example we're now using, Mike McAllister, Ollie, Tom Osborne, Generate Things, Mark Westgaard, WS Form. It counts for a lot, doesn't it? That personal connection, which you can really get. Danielle.
It can go the other way too. There have been people that I've met where I'm like, maybe I would have gotten your product, but now that I have met you, maybe I'm going to see what the alternatives are.
Yeah, that's right. Luckily, we don't sell products. Danielle DeRosa is someone I trust a lot as well. Thank you. Okay, that was interesting. All right. So
just because he's so sweet, I love the main WP team too. They stay open source. I love their commitment to the community. They could have sold out 10 ways to Sunday already, and they have not. So they're another great trustworthy company that I recommend.
Well, thank you.
And now I hope he's going red as well. That's great.
I guarantee you he is. I know he's listening, and I guarantee you he is. But it's true. With Dennis, what you see is what you get. And that is the reason that I aligned myself with them in the first place, was because that whole team is all about the integrity and all about giving, working with the community to give them what they need. It's really been a great, for me personally, I'm sorry to sideline this, but for me personally, it's been really great because of the fact that we were so aligned, and for me to go from owner of a company to a company where I can take ownership of what I'm doing and feel part of a team that has similar vision to me, even though it's not my vision or defined by me, it's been really, really great. So yeah.
Look. It's Dennis from Main WP. He's popped in and he's managed to find an icon. Hello, Dennis. That's lovely. Okay.
He wants to make sure I don't make a fool out of the
team. That's right. Okay, so here's another thing, and Dennis, I think, fits this perfectly. One of the things that I seem to be drawn to is, it's one word, and this may resonate with you, or you may think, Wrigley, what are you talking about? It's humility.
Yes.
All the nods, all three of you at the same time went like that.
Yeah.
That was fascinating. There's something about the humble persona which really draws me in. If you're in the WordPress space, you have to be the out and out marketer. You have to be, you have to do the noisy marketing as well. But when you meet the founders and when you see the humanity in them and the humility in them and the fact that they do ordinary things like walk the dog and put the kids to bed and all of those kind of things, there's just something ever so human about that I really get attracted to. Yes. Anyway, so there we go.
Yeah, he's definitely long on humility. I will give you that. That's a great way to...
That's lovely. Yeah.
Oh, you know where I often will see humility the most, though? And I've told this story 100 times already, but I'll say it again because he would never tell you. First of all, don't buy hosting from them. Buy it from me. But also, Tom from Convessio is one of the most humble and kind individuals you'll ever meet. And I was just kidding about the don't buy hosting from them. It's just, again, we're kind of,
but don't, right?
When I was a hosting team rep on Contributor Day, you know, Tom showed up early. He had never contributed before in his life. He was not yet familiar with how we use GitHub as, you know, part of the contribution system. And that man spent an entire day helping proofread a hosting handbook. Like grunt work. This is the CEO and founder of Convessio. You know, these people are around all the time. And if you really want to find who the humble, you know, folks are, show up on a contributor day.
Yeah.
And see them sitting there doing the job.
Yeah. It's such a curious space, isn't it? And we really are lucky to be surrounded by a lot of those kind of people. There is something about that characteristic, which I think aligns with open source. Obviously, that's a very, you know, that there's not a lot of depth to that sentiment. It sounds very glib, but that has proven itself time and again, in my opinion, at least. You know, the humility and the open source side, I think there's a strong connection between those two things. And by the way, that is now the universal symbol for strong connection. Just so that, yeah, thank you. I appreciate you.
Yeah, and
Mark's nodding, but he didn't do it. Yeah.
It's just going to fly.
I'm nodding in agreement. I'm nodding in agreement.
That's great. Oh, it's so nice that Dennis popped in and he's saying thank you. And very good to find the red-cheeked emoji as well. That's lovely. Okay. Right. Okay. Let's move on. So one of the things that we allow the panelists to do is to bring their own content along. And we're doing that right now. So Jess, as you know, works with rocket.net, hosting.com, and all the other bits and pieces that are attached to that. You've brought a piece called How WordPress Companies Are Using AI for Data Modeling. We'll get into a bit of AI stuff later, but Jess, tell us more. What's this on the menu for?
I'll keep it quick because we've got a lot of really great content to cover today. But, you know, obviously our blog puts out a lot of great content, but this one got some legs under it. People were finding it to be very helpful. And here's the thing, you know, most of us already have the data. We just don't know what to do with it. And so this particular post is giving clear instructions on how you can leverage AI to make the most out of your data and get it to tell the stories that you're hoping to understand about your business. I know a lot of people hear data modeling and it sounds a little intimidating, but it doesn't have to be anymore.
Okay.
And so.
Thank you very much. Just so that you know, Jess, a minute ago, I stared up, I looked up. And you're what I now know is a corgi. At least I think it's a corgi. You have a corgi behind you.
Where's he hiding? She got spayed this week, and so she's in jail because she can't run around.
Well, I've already written the episode title name down. It's called Caged Corgi.
Her name's Dottie, and so we're calling it Dottie Jail.
Dottie Jail. Maybe that's a good one.
There you go.
Dottie.
But she's a puppy. She wants to run around. And so because I'm paying attention to you guys.
The reason I said it, though, Jess, is because I looked up, and I swear for a good 5 seconds, there was only so much of the corgi to be seen. Just enough of her body was poking out. And I swear it was a chicken. There was definitely a chicken.
Oh, Dottie, are you all right?
I know. I'm so sorry, Dottie. I apologize. Dottie. Oh, okay. So there we go. I will put a link in the show notes to the rocket.net piece. It was called, though, How WordPress Companies Are Using AI for Data Modeling. We'll get onto a load of WordPressy AI sort of related stuff in a moment, but let's move over to this one. Seems like WordPress 6.9 only just dropped, but we're fast moving to WordPress 6.9.1. Quite a few of the milestones have already been reached, so there's various bug scrubs that have taken place, and we're about to enter in tomorrow. There's going to be another bug scrub. A week after that, another bug scrub. But just to let you know that at the end of the month, January 29, release candidate 1 should be coming around, and then the 3rd of Feb is hopefully going to be the day when the latest and greatest version of WordPress drops. If you're a sort of casual user, it probably doesn't matter all that much, but I imagine at hosting companies, you know, Bluehost and Rocket.net, stuff like this really matters. And you've got to do quite a lot of spade work to make sure everything is tip-toppity. And Corgi agrees. Dottie's in agreement. Get you.
I ran for the mute button. Sorry, guys. No,
that's fine. I think the more the merrier. So there we go. I don't suppose anybody's got anything to add to that. I shall just move on unless somebody shouts out. No. Okay. In which case, I will go, oh, no, we did that one. We sort of snuck that one in a little bit early. So let's go to this one instead. Now, last week on the show, we had Andrew Palmer, and Andrew Palmer mentioned this chap who sadly has passed away. So getting all serious for a moment. So Tom DiBello was a member of the WordPress community, and Andrew drew attention to a GoFundMe page. I believe, I can't remember whether I managed to get that page on the screen or not, but the goal of $18,000 has been put up on the GoFundMe page in order to take care of the funeral and burial arrangements and what have you. And 97 people so far have raised almost $16,000. So I would say we're 80% there. If you fancy contributing to that, then I will put the links in the show notes. But, you know, if you go to GoFundMe and search for Tom DiBello, it may be that you knew him or knew of him and would like to help with that, then you certainly can. So yeah, there's that one. Sad news, but see if we can get that one over the line. Okay, we were talking about Amber a minute ago. I think it was Courtney, wasn't it, in the comments, saying how much she likes Amber Hines' stuff. And by coincidence, we got this from actually Amber's website. So it's not the Equalized Digital website, it's Amber's personal website, amberhines.com. And it's just an interesting take from an accessibility point of view, but also from their company's point of view. She had a conversation with Matt Cromwell over on X. And in that conversation, it kind of came up that Amber and Equalized Digital only use default blocks and default themes now for their websites. And Matt sort of came back, well, if you can't do all the bits and pieces with these third-party blocks, would you not be better off just using an AI like Lovable or something like that and creating a flat static website? And, you know, you can do that in very short shrift. But then this sort of post developed. So Amber quickly realized, you know what, this conversation deserves a little bit more airing. And essentially, just to sort of cut a long story short, that's it. Amber used to use block libraries. They've now been sort of burned. And it's quite interesting because I can completely empathize with this. It said that they were quite happy using some block libraries. They would tweak things. But here's what happened. She says, so what changed? A few devs ruined it for everyone. Here's the story without naming names. Library A was bought by a hosting company, which deprecated it, and people had to switch to a renamed version. Library B changed its CSS classes, which meant a load of work needed to be done to, you know, change their custom CSS. Library C changed the loading of the style sheet order, which meant that their CSS got loaded after the new block CSS, hence it all got messed up. Library D got abandoned completely from .org, and so that just went away, and so they couldn't rely on it. Anyway, long story short, they're only doing their own, they're using core blocks, core themes, and if they can't figure out how to do it with a core block or core theme, they custom code it. So they'll build their own block to satisfy this one thing. And she makes this really interesting point, which I'd never really thought of. And I can't find it now. I probably won't find it. But there's one point in the article where she makes the point that if anything goes wrong and you're using core blocks and a core theme and you disable every single plugin on your website, your website still looks exactly the same. And that never happens to me. If I uninstall a block or all the plugins, there's a significant impact. Anyway, we now know that many people in the audience really like what Amber does. I just thought that was an interesting piece. Core library for blocks, core themes, and they're away to the races. I don't know if anybody wants to contribute on that one.
She did say if she was going to use it, she'd use Cadence. And
she did.
That's my favorite too.
She worked a lot with Cadence, didn't she? I don't know if that was, I don't know if that's been going on for years and years.
Yeah, they've made a lot of progress when it comes to accessibility and, you know, again, trying to do the right things for the right reasons.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I hear. I mean, core blocks are where it's at.
Yeah, it certainly does make it easier. I don't really build it. I used to build websites for clients a lot, and I don't really do that much anymore. But when I have done more recently and I've used core blocks, I've definitely hit roadblocks, though. That's easy to say. And I've definitely hit roadblocks where I wanted to do something which I anticipated would be really straightforward with core blocks, and it hasn't been. So you're into either the custom block technology, or for me, as I said earlier, generate blocks. I've relied on that a lot, and I have total faith in it. So
You find it's not working, though, is it historically because of a plugin?
Yeah, usually it's something like that. But also, I just like the fact that you're not, I don't know. I guess Amber's got a bit of this as well. There's this bit of you, there's this sort of tipping point where you think, if I can't do it with a core block, do I actually need it to look like that? Can it just look like this? Will a two column layout be fine, and I don't need some complicated grid layout or something like that? So I lean more into that, and what core blocks can do, I just do what the core blocks can do more and more. Anyway, there we go. So let's see. There's a few more comments that have come in. This one came up in terms of somebody that can be trusted from a few minutes ago. I don't know this person, but Maxime, I won't say Beguin, but I presume that may well be wrong. Anyway, thank you. That is obviously somebody that you have trusted in the WordPress space. Good morning, says James Lau. Jess, well, I think we've answered this question. Jess, is that a crate poppy in the play in behind you? If so, I want photos. Jess, you're excused from the podcast. Go and take photos.
I will text you the minute this is over.
Is James from Florida as well? He says two Floridians on the show.
He's from the Northeast US somewhere. Okay. I don't remember exactly where.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Right,
just looking for alligator stories.
I remember you were on the podcast once, and I'm sure it was you. Maybe you two were on the show, and you say that you frequently see alligators, which was about actually the weirdest thing that you
actually
could
see. All three of us were on that show.
What, really?
Yeah.
That's a rehash. Like, honestly, you might as well have said like dinosaurs. As far as I'm concerned, alligators are not a feature of the earth. As far as I'm concerned, you know, they're not real. But apparently they are, and they just wander around the streets where you live. What do you do if you see an alligator?
Wave.
I mean, you just... But, I mean, do you leg it? Do you run in the opposite direction, or are they basically benign?
I mean, I wouldn't say benign, but if you leave them alone, then you're fine. Alone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to go after them.
I'm not continuing to approach.
But I can imagine your corgi might be quite intrigued by going up and, you know, checking out the alligator. So I presume there's got to be a little bit of maintenance of the corgi.
Marcus can back me up. We live very close to a lake that is next to the Everglades, one of the most populous bodies of water for alligators.
Right.
And so you'll see babies walking around. It's not that big of a deal. But I wouldn't let my corgi roam the coastline of that lake because she would absolutely be eaten by a big one.
Okay, so yeah, okay, that happens. Yeah. Right,
a lot of the creeks and stuff around here kind of branch off of that lake. So right. They make their way around into neighborhoods and wherever.
I don't mean to besmirch the corgi, you know, what is it? Dottie.
Dottie.
Yes, yeah. But she's Dottie merely a snack, I would have thought, to a...
Yep, exactly.
She's like a little snack to an alligator. It's like an aperitif. That's a horrible thought. I don't know why I said that. I'm so sorry.
You know what, though? Florida is so crazy. And Marcus, you will not be surprised to hear this. Because for those who don't know, Marcus and I live about a mile away from each other. I saw on the main road in front of my house an eagle carrying a baby gator.
Oh, and yeah. That's so Florida.
Yeah,
that should be on our flag if it's not.
You've just taken a page out of Jurassic Park. That's not actually what happens on planet Earth. In the UK, we have literally nothing. I mean, I stand corrected if somebody can find a weird edge case. There's no, apart from humans, there's no creature which can harm you. Like, the worst that could happen is, I don't know, like you accidentally getting fallen on by a cow or something as it falls over. You know, that's the limit of it.
Well, you guys have Nessie. I mean,
well, now, yeah, that's a whole thing.
Keeping a dinosaurs.
But we don't. And so when I hear about these things, like an alligator walking down the street, by the way, another dog has just came. I don't know if that's yours. But we have another.
They're just all coming in.
Just come to commune with the caged one. But we don't have anything like that. You know, even our spiders, they just sort of crawl on you and sort of go, you know, they can't harm you or anything like that. So when I go to other countries and there's, you know, just tons of creatures that can kill you, then, yeah, it's kind of a bit freaky. Right, Taco says, where did Taco go? He's gone. What do you do? He said, what do you do when you see an alligator in the glades? He said he simply stayed in the boat. I think you carry some pocket meat and just throw it towards the alligator.
I don't know if carry some pocket meat is really great advice.
Okay. I think I've just invented the phrase pocket meat.
Pocket meat.
Here's the bump.
Yeah, let's take advice from the English guy on how to handle alligators.
Yeah. Just walk around with meat in your pockets. That'll solve everything.
Yeah. Look, see that corpse over there? That was the English guy. He thought it was clever.
It's pocket meat.
Maybe that's the episode title. Pocket meat. I like that one.
Right. Oh, boy. Out of context, Nathan, I think you might want to flagged again.
Yeah. Oh, is that okay? I crossed out. Right,
no,
consider
it. Just
okay. Right. Yes. Immediately the dots connect. In my head, and I apologize.
Reel that one back for a second.
However, we are joined by another Floridian. Oh, it's Steve Burge. I can tell from the picture, but I wouldn't have told from the handle. What else have we got? There's lots of comments coming in. Something about corgi armor.
Yes. Thank you, Tammy.
What is that? What does it mean? What does corgi armor mean?
We're going to have to armor her up and protect her.
Oh, I see. Oh, okay. Get her a little like Kevlar suit or something like that. Corgi Kevlar. It's a whole company. I really need to sit down. This is getting too excited. Right. There's lots of comments coming in. I'd be very surprised if they came falling from the sky. Yeah, me too. If the alligator was dropped by the eagle, that would really... There's no getting out of that.
I would be 50% less surprised than Taco.
Yeah. Okay. And then Tammy says, have you seen an angry badger? I haven't, but maybe they could do me some harm. I don't know. Nathan, your squirrels are double the size of the ones in my backyard. Likewise, your ducks are the size of Canadian. Yeah, but they can't do anything to you. They just quack and gather nuts. Or pocket meat. Right, moving on.
The seagulls come to this. Crazy, though.
Yeah.
Just to be clear.
What,
Canadian geese, like, they're aggressive.
Okay. Yeah.
Unlike a goer, which will probably leave you alone, a Canadian goose doesn't care. Like, they'll come right for you.
Yes. Well, that's true. I was once attacked by a swan. And honestly, we have gone so off face, haven't we? I'm so sorry. Right. Let's get back to the WordPressy stuff, because that's what we're here for. I do apologize.
The alligator button and
derailed my head. It's too interesting. Okay, right. Let's move on to some AI stuff and calm us all down, and I'll get rid of the aggressive seagull comment. There we go. Oh, right. Okay. So we're going to stretch into a few bits of AI stuff. The reason I'm putting this on the screen is because I saw James LePage, who's going to feature in the next couple of articles. He's the lead of the automatic, and I believe it's called the WordPress AI team, but I think he's an automatician. He wanted to mention this website. So it's called skills.sh, and it's not WordPress specific, but I think he wanted to make the point that in the open source space, this new, well, it's not new, but this whole thing about skills and the way that AI can interact with skills, the open side of things is a bit of a thing. And I think he wanted to make sure that we all knew that Automatic was doing its thing. So if you go to this website, skills.sh, and you type in the search bar, which you can see at the top, Automatic, then you can see that, yes, indeed, Automatic are doing their thing. So that's that. I just thought I'd show that off. And then James is back over on WordPress.org. Well, actually, make.wordpress.org. He's got a piece entitled Introducing WP Bench, a WordPress AI benchmark, and you see that I've highlighted quite a lot. As Tammy, who's in the comments, will know, me and AI, I don't fully understand it. I sort of cling on with my claws, but I'm going to try and do my best. So I'll read a few bits out. So how well do language models actually understand WordPress? To answer this, we're introducing WP Bench. And if you click on the link, which is buried in there, you'll get to this GitHub repo. It's github.com/WordPress/WP-Bench. You can go and check that out there. And this is the official WordPress AI benchmark. And the idea is that it's going to evaluate how well AI models understand WordPress development, from core APIs and coding standards to plugin architecture and security best practices. And then why WP Bench matters. And I've just done the highlighted bullet points so that they can understand today's models, shape tomorrow's models, and build an open source variant of this. And then here's the important bit, I suppose. WP Benchmark, how does it work? Well, it's got, it says WP Benchmark measures AI capabilities across two dimensions, knowledge and execution. And the benchmark uses WordPress itself as the grader, which is, I thought, was quite interesting, running generated code in a sandbox environment. This ensures we measure both theoretical understanding and a practical ability to produce working standards compliant code. And then there's a bit about, you know, knowledge where we're at and limitation, what have you. But I just thought this was a really interesting project where we're trying to get a handle on what AI thinks of WordPress, what it can do with WordPress, how it understands WordPress. And I guess that's going to be a two-way street. So if we can see that AIs typically don't do things well with WordPress, maybe there's knowledge that's useful knowledge so that we can teach them how to do things well in the future. There was something down here. It would appear that it skews, it's more correct, I'm doing air quotes, it's better when it's doing things from WordPress 6.9, features like the Abilities API and Interactivity API. And early testing showed it scored very highly on older WordPress concepts. I guess that's just because there's more stuff out there on the internet. So again, just another example of James Automatic, WordPress in general, just sort of trying to keep up and kind of stay ahead of the trend in the AI space. I'm sorry if I was clinging on for dear life there, Tammy. I apologize. Do Mark, Jess, or Marcus have anything they want to say about this in light of the fact that we're all talking about AI all the time?
This really is not helping the rumor that James is at least 50% robot.
I've actually prodded him once, and he seemed very authentic to me. You know, they've got that whole flesh.
Yeah, but they're making so much more realistic now.
The bit that doesn't fit is, how do you get such an intelligence into somebody so young looking? I don't quite understand.
No, and like, seems to register like human emotions perfectly.
Yeah, it's pretty incredible. I mean, genuinely. So we had this thing, the skills stuff, which he pointed in my direction. Then we got this thing, and then if memory serves, no, that was the two bits for this week. There might have been another bit which I took off, but James is producing an awful lot of content. I genuinely don't know how he keeps up with it. I think even for journalists, it's very hard to keep with, but he's having to keep up with the news cycle, but also the technical aspects of it and build with the team and what have you. So it's pretty, seems like an incredibly good hire with
yeah, he's grooming his teeth, that's for sure.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, if nobody else has got anything to add to that, I will just point you in its direction. So make WordPress.org. Sorry, Marcus.
That's okay. Yeah, I was just going to say, it's kind of the important bit here is kind of twofold. Like you said, one, it's figuring out which models need help, and then we can also see how they need help. So what documentation needs to be created for us to help those models out. And then the other is obviously the costs, both financial and environmental costs. So obviously the best model may be the most expensive model, but maybe the next best model is one of the cheaper, both in terms of financial cost and, you know, environmental cost to run servers and stuff. So helping make decisions on which model we should use. Maybe I don't need the very best model. Maybe I can go with the second best model because it's going to cost a whole lot less in a number of ways. and kind of make those decisions based on this. So I think that that's super helpful.
It feels like in the last, let's say 2 years since, well, it's probably a little bit more than that, but it feels like that there isn't much of a loyalty test in terms of AI. It does seem like developers will very quickly move from one platform, you know. So for the longest period of time, everybody was talking about OpenAI and ChatGPT. Mm-hmm. That seems to be in the rearview mirror. I don't hear much mention of them anymore. Now it seems to be, well, then for a while there was other things which came online and seemed to get talked about a lot. And I could be wrong about this, but it feels like Claude Code is, which I believe is Anthropic's technology. They seem to be the one that's being talked about. And so why I'm saying all that is, I guess, if another AI comes along and then quickly drops a feature set which everybody thinks is superior, nobody's going to be bound to Claude Code for any length of time. They're just going to drop it. So having some sort of benchmark, what is this good at in terms of WordPress? What can Anthropic do? What can Gemini do? What can OpenAI do? And what can't it do? And what have you? That's going to be really useful so that you just don't go down loads of dead ends seeing where things are at. But equally, I'm imagining you'll have to check this on a more or less hourly basis because it seems to change so readily.
Let it alert you or whatever. No, I've already switched what I've used for different things a couple of times. It really does come down to, I think, what is doing the best job in the least amount of time. I mean, that's the productivity math, right? What's going to do the best work and do it the fastest, and whichever thing rolls out the new model that does that is going to be the one that's going to be used until the next one does it faster and better.
How do you gain the intuition that it's time to look at something new? How do you get the understanding that I've been using this one for a while, it's working for me reliably? Because obviously if you lived in that bubble, you could just carry on with what you've got forever.
Mm-hmm.
Is it social media and things like that at the moment that you're relying on? You go
marketing and social media. But OpenAI especially has done a good job. Every time they release something, they put a video out to kind of showcase it and show some of the new capabilities and how fast it's running and stuff. And then when that's kind of more general public type stuff, but then when it comes to development, there's just, social media, a lot of chatter about who's using what, and things kind of come and go, and oh, I'm using this now instead of that, and then I'll give it a try. And, you know, Cursor, I had an extension that I was using for VS Code for doing some coding stuff, and then everyone's talking about how great Cursor is. The one that I was using for VS Code changed their pricing model, so I was like, well, let's go check out Cursor. And so now I've been doing some stuff with Cursor. It doesn't matter to me, and I'm just speaking for myself, but it doesn't matter to me which one I'm using,
right?
As long as it's doing the best job for kind of the least amount of time, so I can get to where I'm trying to go quickly.
So would you use something like WP Bench then to inform your decision? Obviously on the WordPress side of things specifically, sure. You would use that as a credible source of, okay, Anthropic can now do this thing, which seems to put it ahead of the game compared to this one and this one. Okay.
Yeah, well, I kind of need to some degree, because most of what we're comparing is just development in general. And what I do a lot of stuff with WordPress, I'm kind of trying to work my way through the social media noise to figure out what the other WordPress people are using versus people that are all in on React and you know, non-WordPress CMS type stuff. So WP Bench would be super helpful because it's very WordPress specific, so that when I'm building things for WordPress, then I know, okay, you know, these three models are doing it the best. You know, maybe I try all three of them and see which one I find is the best fit for me.
Do you have like a lot of overlapping subscriptions then, which like for a period of time? Yeah, so you'll have a period of time, you'll have multiple during that flipping over to, and then presumably one of them drops off because now you've really not you. Okay, gosh, that's interesting.
You know, it's interesting what I'm thinking about here is a couple of weeks ago I was on the show and we talked about how Katie Keith's article about one of the things that they noticed is that when you make your plugin irreplaceable or hard to replace, that generates that loyalty. I think that maybe one of the weaknesses with AI is it's so easy to switch. It's so easy to say, oh, let me try this. There's no real pain involved in migrating from one service to the other, unless you've like spent a year training one to think the way that you do, or, you know.
I'd say that's both true and not true. I think in the development space, that's true. It's very easy to switch
because
the context that you're bringing is basically what's in that folder, what's in that project.
It's fresh, yeah.
But when you're talking about using AI more generally, like that's where I'm stuck on ChatGPT. Because I have used it forever, and it's got this really long context of memory about how I write and what matters to me, and, you know, all sorts of different information where I can hop in and say, you know, give me a 2-paragraph bio for this thing. They can write that pretty easily, where if I jump to something else, it doesn't have that context.
Right.
It does kind of depend on what you're using it for.
Jess, did you have something you wanted to throw in?
Yeah, I've built a few custom GPTs myself, and that's honestly part of why I haven't fully untethered from ChatGPT. But I think it's honestly a lot like hosting. You know, you're going to have some kind of pain before you're willing to switch away from something like that, because switching can really suck. It's like changing cell phone providers. You wouldn't do it if it's just working for you. But I know that we're going to talk about this in a minute. It'll be really interesting to see what happens when ChatGPT starts introducing ads. On a more prevalent basis. You know, I pay for it. Am I going to see as many ads? And in what way? Because then it starts introducing questions about my privacy. You know, right now I assume, you know, with a paid account, I have a certain level of isolation, but if they're using my data to connect it to marketers, you know, it's going to make me really question what I'm willing to trust it with.
Well, and I would also question the integrity of the information it's returning to me, just like we do with Google now.
Of course.
Yeah.
So I'm just popping on the screen. So we were going to maybe cover this at the end, but I'll just put it on the screen now. This is a piece on Engadget, which is exactly what Jess was talking about. This idea that OpenAI is bringing ads to ChatGPT. It says free and go tiers. I don't know what the go tier is, but presumably there's some monetary value attached to that. Users in the US will start seeing sponsored content soon. Honestly, I read this on the day it came out, which is like 10 days ago now, and I can't actually remember the context of it, but it seemed like everybody was kind of resigned. Like, well, duh, what did you expect? Okay. Like, it's not a money printing machine. It was at some point going to have to figure out ways to monetize and what have you. And it would appear that the amount of money that they get via subscriptions in no way comes close to what they need. So putting ads in there. But I think you're right, Jess. That's the wider problem. Like, can you trust it to give you something that's objective? Like a perfect example would be, I don't know, you want to ask it about a restaurant in your local neighborhood that is good for pizza or something. Maybe that's not a great example because that's very subjective, but you want something where objectively it's giving you the best result back. And when ads come into question, obviously that is going to skew it, right? It's going to give you presumably results that are paid for in some way, shape, or form.
If the advertising is within the response, then yes, I'm questioning it. If it's a separate, I mean, I'll question it either way, probably. But if it sorts it out separately from the actual results, I may be slightly more inclined to believe that it's...
Yeah, so the little screenshot here, you can see that somebody's got it. Somebody, again, if you can't see this, apologies, I'll describe it. There's a screenshot of a phone and somebody's typed in the response. They're obviously generating ideas for a dinner party. So there we go. And then it's given a bunch of recipes. And then there's an ad, which is clearly demarcated. It's got like a divider at the top. And it looks slightly different. The body of the text looks broadly similar, but there is a little banner saying, this is sponsored. So in that scenario, yeah, I can get that. But now am I thinking, is this Harvest Groceries Company, which is, you know, where the ad appears to be coming from, is that going to find its way into the text? Can I trust any mention of Harvest Groceries?
That's where I'm coming from, because everybody knows AI wants to make you happy.
Yeah.
That's, you know, it wants to please you. And so if it starts getting signals that everybody thinks Ember hot sauce is the best hot sauce because everybody's clicking on that ad, or people are engaging with it or talking about it, it's probably going to think by and large, well, this seems to be a very popular hot sauce. You know, where is it getting its data to understand that, you know, Harvest Groceries is an advertiser versus something that people are genuinely interested in?
Yeah.
Is it going to be nuanced enough to know the difference between, you know, paid or organic lift when it comes to, you know, interest and engagement? I don't know the answer to that, and I'm sure more will be revealed.
Amazing segue, because do you remember I said there was another piece by James LePage? Well, there is, and it's here. James didn't write this. This is on Search Engine Journal, but it's James LePage again. We're not quite sure if he's an automaton because, you know, how, James, just how. He goes into, he's got an article where he's talking about how WordPress AI team is working to make SEO. Honestly, I'll cut it out for you. Basically, the long and the short of this article is, at least it appeared to me anyway, is if you do the same stuff that you do for Google, you're probably going to have good results. You know, if you parse your content, if you structure it correctly, put the most important stuff at the beginning, put in headings, demarcate the content into various different content sections and what have you, you're off to the races. But yeah, I agree. Like, so if it's code, I can imagine that it's not going to do anything to your code. It's not going to inject ads, is it? Is it going to inject ads into your code? One would hope not. But now that these chatbots are becoming, you know, basically a substitute for Google, it does raise a question. If they keep it, those little advertising blocks, I can get it. But now I'm suspicious that that content is going to be in some way interfered with, the main content, you know, the response that you get back. And of course, because it's a bit of a black box, we have no idea what the secret sauce is that they're using. So, yeah. Okay, so let's have a look here. There's a few comments that have come in about this. Taco says that he hasn't used ChatGPT since switching to Gemini 2 months ago. Isn't that interesting, though? It's like 2 months. And yet, Taco, you're saying that like it's a long period of time. It feels like you're saying, oh, it's 2 months, it's ages. It's nothing, is it? Like, when was the last time you switched from Google to a different search engine? Like, that's locked in for life. Now, the whole AI thing, you've got no, you're not locking anything in for any period of time. Elliot
Google
says,
Google would never use your data to sell you stuff.
No, I can't think of a single example where I've seen an ad on any Google property.
No, never.
I've told you, I use Kagi. I've switched to Kagi. Switch to Kagi, everybody. Kagi.com, K-A-G-I.com. You'll have to pay them dollars, but in return, you get no ads. Elliot says he switched to Gemini as well. Marcus, who's here. Gemini knows a lot about me, but I have such a history built with ChatGPT that it's hard to fully switch. The Webinaut, I think ads are going to be generating a shift to other AI models. Okay, I think
they're going to have to follow suit. I mean, ChatGPT is just going to be the first. All of this is far too expensive for any of our $20 a month subscriptions to cover. So, I mean, if it doesn't have ads now, it will at some point.
So let's just put that piece on at the end as well. We'll just, where's it gone? So this is Cory Doctorow writing in The Guardian. It's a UK-based paper. And, you know, he's not saying anything you haven't already heard, but he's basically saying that, he's making the fairly grand point, grandiose, that AI companies will fail. And this seems to be getting talked about quite a lot, but we're still working on the fumes, I think, of VC money. Maybe that is going to run out at some point in the near future. But it would appear, I don't know where I read it. I don't think it was in this article, but it would appear that the amount of a subscription that you might need to pay in the future, rather than it being $20, $30, $250 a month, is going to be more in the multiple thousands of dollars a month. Which presumably for a business, you know, if you're, a massive WordPress agency, whatever. Yeah, we'll pay that. But for the likes of tinkerers, like I might do, that's now completely out of my league. So it will be kind of interesting to see how that all breaks down. But yeah, it does look like those, you know, we can't go on forever. So presumably ads are coming in every single interface.
That article is in lockstep with what Marcus's other comment there is. Sorry, guys.
All right.
He said, I wish there was a context protocol that I could export and import between services. Mm. And I think that's
interesting. Yeah, so that you could take your context with you. Yeah, yeah.
It was actually something that I was messaging back and forth with Mark Szymanski over on over the weekend on X was, you know, how do we, if I had a way that I could just take everything that ChatGPT knew about me, bundle it up and put it into Gemini, it would make that an easier switch. And there's obviously reasons that ChatGPT wouldn't want that, or that Gemini would, or the other way around. So, you know, I don't know how one or the other makes that happen, but it'd be really great to be able to kind of bundle up everything that ChatGPT knows about me and take it wherever the place is that I want to try the model out so that I can,
in a way,
kind of make that switch easier.
Yeah, I can think of almost nothing which the AI companies would want less than that.
Yeah.
Because that you've immediately just, you've made something open source suddenly, haven't you? Just like, sure. God, who wants their own data? Oh, more or less everybody. Who are we going to give it to? More or less nobody. All right, yeah, fine. Yeah, yeah, the market will win. Okay, so thank you. There was lots going on in there. Where did we get to with the comments? There was a lot of comments. I'm sorry. I think that we're kind of fast running out of time, so I think I'm just going to have to leave your comments in the comments. So sorry about that.
Yeah, the webinar mentioned briefly local models, and I think, you know, if we're looking at thousands of dollars a month, then there will be more of a shift for tinkerers to having to figure out what running local models looks like. And hopefully those cat, I mean, the reason they haven't caught on now is, one, there's a barrier. You have to set things up yourself and all of that. But two, they're just not as good as, you know, the ChatGPTs and the Geminis, but hopefully they'll continue to get better as well.
Yeah.
And maybe easier to install, and we'll have to go in that direction if it does end up being thousands of dollars a month.
Yeah. I can't do that. This thing happened over the weekend. I don't know if you caught sight of, or if it was just me, but like, it would seem that over the weekend, everybody suddenly started buying Mac Minis for this thing called Claudebot, C-L-A-W-D, Bot, I believe it is. I don't want to see anything about that, but it would appear that if you're buying a Mac Mini, does that mean that's local? I don't really know, but...
Okay. I'm not sure. Okay. Yeah, I saw a mention of it, but I don't know a ton about it.
Yeah, I didn't just see a mention of it. I saw, like, 100 mentions of it, genuinely, like loads and loads of people seem to be buying Mac Minis over the weekend. So yeah. And just quick message to say to everybody watching that Jess at some point on the half hour, so in 7 minutes time, Jess is just going to suddenly wave and bid adieu because she's got other things that she needs to get.
Take her corgi and go.
Yeah, she's got to take that corgi out of that there cage. She's quite happy. Yeah, it's very happy. Right, in which case, we'll just race through a few of these. But honestly, very quickly now, just let's see if we can get through them and say goodbye at the same time as we say goodbye to Jess. If you're an Elementor user, you may be interested to know that Elementor have this new kind of wraparound product. It's called Elementor One. This article explains that, but really, you've got to scroll to the bottom to sort of see what it is. I say that. I saw it before. Here we go. What's in it? Basically, you get hosting, you get all of the Elementor tools, you can share the credits that you buy throughout the tools so that you can push the credits to the hosting or to the, you know, the different AI services and what have you that they've got. I was going to spend a bit more time on that, but I can't. We haven't got the time. So anyway, if you're an Elementor user, big fan of that, then go and check it out. It would appear that it's quite a seismic moment in their product offering. I don't think the page builder or anything is changed much necessarily from V4. It's just they've now got this bigger thing going on in the background. Right, events. WordCamp Europe is coming around not that long away now, but obviously in the preamble to that, they need speakers. And here we go. You can submit your speaker application now if you want to be involved in that. WordCamp Europe in Krakow, Poland in the year 2026. Can't remember the month, but I think it's July or June or something. But it's anyway, it's at some point in the coming months. And obviously WordCamp Asia is coming up before that. They are now releasing their tranche of speakers so that you know who is coming, so that you can decide whether to attend or not. Here is speaker round two: Ryan Welsher, Jonathan DeRosier, Anna Herko, and Rebecca Markowitz. They are some of the people that are going to be joining you there if you wish to come. And still, speaking of WordCamp Asia, if you would like to be a part of that, whether that's getting your ticket to attend or becoming a sponsor, Those options are still available. So that is that. And then I think we've touched on all the WordPress-y things. Yeah, pretty much. So in which case, we're just going to stray into weird territory just for 2 minutes. I want everybody to go to this. There's no way I'm reading this URL out. It's obviously an app run on some service somewhere. So it's got a URL which is disposable and unreadable because there's like 15 digits in a row. But this thing is called WonderWord, and it's so cool. They've actually become so popular that they've shut down their search because they were getting overwhelmed. But what it does is, in the original version, you could type in a word into the search, any word in the English language, and it would show you where it came from and give you a bit more information. So as an example, silk. I didn't know it comes from this word in China. Magazine, I didn't know it came from Iraq, and it's magazin. Or saffron, also from Iraq. And anyway, Arsenal, sherbet, they're all coming from Iraq. It would appear that the entire language is coming from Iraq. That's fascinating. Anyway, keep your eye on it. If they bring out their search again, I lost a whole half day to this, and it was absolutely fascinating. If you're a etymologist, woo-hoo, got that word in, then this is,
I love that Newman's family thinks he's in his office working and he's just looking up the origin of ketchup.
Totally waste so much time on stupid things like this, but it's very enjoyable. I love it. And The Observer. So, okay, sort of slightly straying into politics here. I'll avoid the incendiary side of things, but it is kind of interesting. The political situation, The Observer says, over your side of the pond is so interesting. Let's go with that. That it would appear that the UK, along with the EU, so it's a more broad thing, is now looking to decouple itself from a lot of the tech that we have become dependent upon. So as things stand at the moment, there are so many companies from the US that we just lean into. Like, you don't even think, like Google, yeah, we'll take loads of Google. You know, Salesforce, just list them. There's just thousands of them. And the EU and the UK, we really have no credible competitor because your software is the best. And I think the EU and the UK are at the moment looking to sort of pivot that slightly. Whether or not that will happen in the short term or the long term will be kind of interesting, but certainly a consequence of the way things are going at present. And we've done that one. We've not done this one, but we don't have time to do it, so I'll just drop that in for next week probably. And that's it. I think we did it.
Wow. And got to talk about alligators.
We spoke so much about alligators. I want to do a whole alligator section next time you're on. We'll just get into alligators. Maybe you could go out with a webcam. You know, film me some alligators in real time.
But Marcus, we can report live from
the shore of Lake Jessup.
Yeah, we'll just hang out a black hammock and
bit of pocket meat with you there. You know, just do
Once again, Nathan, they can jump from the water, like jump.
Yes, they jump. Okay.
Well,
propel themselves out of the water with their tails.
Alligator shaped shield. And I'm imagining it's just really easy, and I'm some sort of superhero that won't be affected. And Taco says that's 100% true. I don't know what he's saying is 100% true, but you know. Oh, no. No, it's not Taco saying it. It must be some previous comment. Okay. Anyway, there we go. So, in rich case.
Have I been saucy today? Have I been saucy?
I hope so. That was everybody. I think it'd be great.
You just invite me to like pour gasoline.
I think it'd be nice at the end of each episode if I too had been saucy, but I don't think I've got it in me.
I'm too old. You do.
Don't think I've ever been called saucy.
Get myself cancelled here. On that bombshell, we will say adieu. Thank you to anybody who made a comment. That was very, very kind of you to give up your precious time, but also to, you know, take time out and give us a comment. Really appreciate it. But obviously, it goes without saying, I'd like to thank Jess Frick for joining us. And I know she's got to go probably this minute. We're also going to thank Marcus Burnett, who's over there. Thank you so much. And Mark Benzekane, who is over there. Really appreciate it.
I can never get the pointing right.
It's not easy.
I have everything mirrored perfectly.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. You need to set it up in advance. I now know because it's like muscle memory now, but I still get it wrong from time to time.
I didn't know there'd be pointing in this show. I'm sorry.
There's always pointing. There's another great episode title. I didn't know there'd be pointing in this show. Maybe that'll be it. Right, Jess, see you later.
Thank you. See you later, Mark.
See you later, Marcus. Take it easy. We will see you next time. Bye. 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 Bye.